Hello and welcome. Thanks for tuning in. First things first, there's been a couple updates on the Magnificat Media blog. If you go to that, and if you've been going, or if you've been following us on Facebook for the past month, since May 1st, we've been updating the blog on a daily basis. And we've been having stories from all over there for you to look at and read and have links to. And so do go check that out. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Magnificat Media, or follow me at Stephen Cox. We've been getting into a lot of really important issues lately. Cardinal Koch of the Pontifical Council for Promoting So-Called Christian Unity came out recently at Cambridge and gave a talk saying, convert all non-Christians except the Jews. And he was talking about converting basically ISIS and ISIL. And we want to get into that because there's a difference between non-Christians and non-Catholics. And Cardinal Koch here is very much intentionally, mind you, misapplying and misinterpreting Christ's prayer that all may be one. So I want to clarify that a little bit later today. And we'll get into some other blog stories as well. But there's one big announcement I wanted to make sure you had. Catholic Family News, which is a great apostolate. It's run by our friend John Vanieri. And he's appeared on Magnificat Media in the past with Mike and Lisa. Perhaps I can get him on air. John, if you're listening, send me an email. We'll have to get you on air and talk about this conference that's coming up that you're hosting, because the first weekend in June, the Catholic Family News is hosting a conference in Chicago. It's folks who you will know their names quite well: Chris Ferrara, John Salza, Dr. Andrew Childs of St. Mary's, Father Isaac Aurelia, he'll be there, Michael Matt, folks who you know very well. If you've been listening to this show, and I encourage you to go and read those folks over at The Remnant and over at Catholic Family News. And go to their website, June 10, 11, and 12th in Deerfield, Illinois, just right outside Chicago. The conference is titled Prophecy, Miracles, and Aids to the Faith. And there'll be talks on Fatima. They'll be talking about modernists as well as miracles and the importance of music. So do go to that if you can, if you have the time. It is summer. It's getting much, much nicer out. That will be the second weekend in June. The first weekend in June, obviously, is ordinations over at St. Thomas Aquinas Seminary, run by the Society of St. Pius X. I will be in attendance, as will Mike and Lisa, so pray for us. I definitely am looking forward to it. I went to ordinations for the first time last year, and it was the highlight of my year, the pinnacle of the last 12 months. I got to know many of the seminarians, several of whom now are being ordained to the priesthood, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing, because these men, these warriors who are going to lead the church militant, need our prayers, need us to be there, and the graces that will flow from that ceremony and from being with such holy men. I believe Bishop De Galarreta will be there this year. Bishop Tissier was there last year, and I believe Bishop Fillet before that. So pray for those three bishops. They're always in our prayers. They're near and dear to the hearts of Magnificat Media. But go if you can. It's a fantastic experience, and it's the last time it's going to be in Winona. So that will be even more of a reason to perhaps go. But later on today, we have Tyler Nethercott talking, giving us his last word on the Target campaign. Target, I'm sure you're all aware, has now passed these so-called transgender bathrooms. And Tyler's going to give us his thoughts on that. I've been blogging about that quite a bit recently. And if you recall, the first show of the year back in January, I predicted this is the year of transgenderism. It is the year of transgenderism, and I mean, it reaches all the way to the European Union. You know, there's this big debate going on right now between the UK and the European Union, and should the United Kingdom leave the European Union or not? And absolutely, they should. I think the reason is quite obvious. There was a bishop who came out against the European Union. His name is Archbishop Peter Smith from the Diocese of Southwark in the UK. And here's just some comments he said. He said the European Union ambition is to turn the block of countries into a super state were wrong. The quest for cohesion between European member states could not come at a price of their legitimate sovereignty. It was hard to swallow, he says, Archbishop Peter Smith, the loss of British sovereignty to the EU project of erecting a European United States. Okay, so this is the problem. Are we nationalists or are we globalists? Are we pro-American or pro-United Nations? And the UK has this really, really important question in front of them. Are we pro-England or are we pro-European Union? And I think the answer is quite clear. I think these are unnecessary unions. The majority of the time, these grand configurations of states only serve to, as the Archbishop said here, to take power and sovereignty away from the nation state and grant it to some big faceless institution that oversees massive numbers of nations. And what that does is that it cedes power. And the whole point I'm getting at here, because we're talking about transgenderism, is that the EU issued a statement several weeks ago saying that the laws in North Carolina and other states that oppose transgender bathrooms, quote unquote, that those states and those laws need to be reversed. This is the European Union issuing a statement about what states in the United States are doing. And they say they have this right to say this and that these states should reverse this law because the United States is a party to these various international agreements with Europe and the United Nations. Okay, so this is the sort of problems that we run into with these sorts of arrangements and with these sorts of deals between nations and continents and supercontinents and super states. Okay, so we need to look more carefully at this, and I really hope the British, you know, when they go to vote, they vote for freedom, true freedom. Okay, freedom from this massive, faceless institution. Okay, this Masonic organization. And, so Tyler will give us his thoughts on that. But the first things first. There has been some news, some developments, I'd say, regarding relations between the Society of St. Pius X and Rome. As you all know, we've been covering this story on air for quite some time. With, I hope you all know, the most pure intents. Obviously, we want to save souls. Society wants to save souls. It is my intention to cover this objectively and to look at it fairly from all sides. And as I've always said on the Magnificat Radio blog, if anyone from the Society would like to come on air and discuss, we're definitely open to that. You'll definitely get a fair hearing here, just as there was a fair hearing, I think, with the Edward Penton interview with Bishop Fillet. I think he even pushed on some issues that were a bit surprising that he did. But, we obviously are wanting to do what is best for souls. And if we are at all in the wrong and can be proven to be in the wrong, there definitely will be efforts done by myself to rectify the situation. If objectively there is something that is said that is malicious or defamatory. But I need to say that because these are really sensitive issues. And of course, we all understand that. But the big development now is that Cardinal Gerhard Mueller, the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, gave an interview to a German newspaper. And he had some interesting comments, and quite frankly, comments that, I think they betray the, in other words, they show to us the true intentions of Rome. But here's what the cardinal says. He says he expects the society to recognize the Second Vatican Council and to unreservedly recognize freedom of religion as a human right and an obligation to do and engage in ecumenism. He says the Second Vatican Council accepting it is not an unreasonably high hurdle. And in order to enter into full communion, it's a direct quote, with the Pope and the bishops in communion with him, they must accept it. So this is something that just came after the big discussions and the public, very public, statements by Pope Francis in that LaCroix interview with that French newspaper on May 9th, where the Pope said, again, what did the Pope say? He says, it seems that we can make a practical, non-doctrinal arrangement where we'll discuss doctrine later. Here's what the Pope says regarding a personal prelature, which again, keep in mind, folks, this is a personal prelature is a Vatican II novelty. The Church has never had these sorts of things. The only organization that has one of these is Opus Dei, which a lot of folks say is very, in and of itself, diabolical. But here's what the Pope says about if he'd be willing to grant the Society a prelature. He says, it would be possible, but we should have a fundamental agreement to be established with them. The Second Vatican Council has its value. We move slowly with patience. Okay. Now, again, the Pope's words would seem to say, at least for me, the same sort of thing that Cardinal Mueller is getting at. The Second Vatican Council has its value. We move forward slowly with patience. Okay? The Council has its value. We move slowly with patience. It's clearly the Pope's intention, and I think clearly here that Cardinal Mueller is showing, and Cardinal Koch, who we'll talk about later, has said, hey, you need to accept the Council. This dialogue, this claim of, well, we'll just dialogue and hear you out and we'll come to an agreement later on, it's a smokescreen as far as I'm concerned. And it's the same, others feel the same way as well. There are plenty of Catholics, folks who've been in tradition, in society for 10, 20, 30 years, who've expressed this to me. You know, it's not just me. It's also Chris Jackson over at The Remnant, and it's also Michael Matt over at The Remnant, who I would argue has been more outspoken on some of this than I was, and I have been. Because here's what Michael Matt has said, and he's written in the comment box at The Remnant that he's cautiously pessimistic and that he says, don't have anything to do with Pope Francis. And I think he even openly challenged some of the claims in Father Schmittberger's letter that we should be hoping for regularization. It was Michael Matt who said those things. And here's a direct quote that Michael Matt wrote in a recent essay. One can speculate as to whether or not the Pope's bizarre, no-strings-attached offer to regularize the society isn't also connected in some way to the same utopian dream of a one-world religion, in that everyone and anyone, even rad-trad traditionalists, must be brought into the circle if the religious component of the New World Order is ever to become a reality. Michael Matt has been in the traditional movement for 30, 40 years. He's presented at Angelus press conferences. He's presented at various conferences. Here's Chris Jackson writing for The Remnant as well. Cardinal Mueller is firing a warning shot, letting the society know that sooner or later they must accept the council. And once the society is regularized and has a canonical status within Rome, what position will they be in to oppose a Roman authority insisting that they accept contended novelties of the council? At that point, Francis, Mueller, Pozzo may demand that the society accept ecumenism and religious liberty under obedience. So, I think Cardinal Mueller here, there's a couple of things. One, you can look at it in two ways. Either this is intentional or it's not. If it's unintentional and he sort of spilled the beans, then it may, well, rile up, yeah, sure, a lot of traditionalists who, as Chris Jackson and Michael Matt have just said, hey, this is a warning shot. They're clearly going, they're warning you ahead of time. And if it's unintentional, perhaps you could even say, hey, this is the Holy Spirit somehow working through the cardinal saying, this is what's going to happen, you know? And protecting the society in that way to say, oh, gosh, wow, he's coming out. This is his real intentions. These intentions They're full of guile. Or at least that's one perspective, right? The other perspective could be that, well, it's intentional. That it is clear. And he is saying and basically playing the society like a yo-yo, right? One day the Pope says, oh, yeah, they're fine. They're traditionalists. They like me in Buenos Aires. We dialogued. And then even Archbishop Pozzo a couple months ago who said, hey, look, recognizing Vatican II is not an obstacle. That's what Archbishop Pozzo said just in April, a month ago. And now you have another cardinal coming out, or rather Cardinal Mueller, Archbishop Pozzo is not a cardinal, saying, well, actually, you know what? They have to accept the Second Vatican Council. And so this game of cat and mouse, this sort of toying with the emotions and getting up and down and looking for reconciliation, recognition, I mean, it's so inconsistent and it's so ambiguous. That's the key point, because ambiguity, the Holy Spirit doesn't operate in ambiguity. Aren't we at a point here where you can say, you can judge a tree by its fruits? What are the fruits of the persons in charge who are running this conciliar church, who are, as Bishop Tissier once wrote in an essay on the difference between the conciliar church and the eternal Rome, hey, these are occupying powers, you know? Again, not me, not my words. Bishop Tissier's words. Chris Jackson writes, he says, look, we cannot forget the recent brutal oppression of Franciscan friars of the Immaculate under Pope Francis. Do we deny that you can't, or do we deny that you can judge a tree by its fruits? I mean, it seems quite clear that past actions of the Pope has been to publicly condemn traditionalists and not American conservatives, as some have said. Some say the Pope is calling out American conservatives when he talks about rigid traditionalists and folks who want to live in the past. No, that's he's not talking about American conservatives. I mean, this was the theory of John Allen over at Crux magazine, that he really has it out for American conservatives and not traditionalists like the Society of St. Pius X. The Pope has been quite clear, I've been covering him from day one, that it is a precisely folks like the Society and precisely groups like the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate that he's talking about. Now, the Pope may have more experience with American conservatives, maybe Cardinal Burke and other cardinals who were at the Synod, although I don't think Cardinal Burke was at the Synod. But that's maybe who he has more familiarity with. But objectively speaking, I mean, we have to be able to say we can judge a tree by its fruits. We cannot deny that. And, you know, can't it be said that even though the Pope might say some nice, soft, fluffy things about society, his actions indicate his intentions are full of guile? Look, he says we should come to an agreement. But the Second Vatican Council has its value. We will move slowly with patience. I mean, I think it's quite clear, given this, given what Cardinal Mueller has said, that Rome dialogue with the society is not to seriously entertain any sort of criticisms of the council that they have, but to keep, you know, bringing them along, putting a carrot in front of them and then bringing it back, and then putting it out even further. You know, I mean, we'll talk about this in the next segment, but the Pope was welcoming an imam to the Vatican just the other day. And basically, this imam had cut off discussions with the Vatican a couple years ago because what Pope Ratzinger said, Pope Benedict said, that there were certain teachings of Islam that were wrong. And they said, well, we can no longer dialogue with someone who says this, etc. I said, I wrote on the Magnificat Media blog, I said, fantastic. You know, what is the point of this human respect and dialogue? Everything, oh, we make progress. Oh, we go forward. 20 years of discussions, 20 years of dialogue. That's what you always hear from these sort of fringe groups, the Jews that come to the Vatican, the Baptists that come to the Vatican, these imams that come to the Vatican. Oh, we can't fall back into the old times of saying they're wrong and we're right. It'll ruin 30 years of dialogue and discussion and human respect. In 30 years, what will this so-called dialogue with the Society of St. Pius X produce? Will we still be dialoguing? Will there be a cordiality between the traditionalists and these modernist popes? Obviously, we have to respect the papal office. The pope is the pope. Sedevacantism is a heresy. Go read John Sulz's book on that. Clearly, we must respect the office. But a friend of mine wrote to me recently, and I put this up on the Magnificat Media blog, and I thought it was most fitting. And this is, I think, the way to look at the situation in Rome today. And the email goes like this. A Catholic cannot praise an abortionist for following industry best practices, even though an abortionist may anesthetize a woman whose child he's about to murder. You don't laud him for following proper procedures. You don't say, you know what? At least he discussed with her options and got her consent. You don't say, he did a good job by having a nurse there at his side while he conducted this abortion. No, what you do is call him out for murdering the unborn child. And my friend goes on to say, everyone knows Pope Francis is destroying the church. He may well be an end times figure. He might say he wants to engage in discussions with some traditionalists. He might say some traditionalists are Catholics and pious, that he views them as Catholic and that he views them as pious. But at the end of the day, my friend writes, he's a modernist making the crisis in the church worse and possibly laying the seeds to the Antichrist. And so, rightly, my friend asks, you know, where are the public condemnations of this man, this church abortionist? Why is there such an interest in dialogue with him? Why is there so much excitement over him thinking that some traditionalists are Catholic? It's tough to disagree. It's tough to disagree with that. It's tough to disagree with Chris Jackson. It's tough to disagree with Michael Matt. I think most of all, it's tough to disagree with what Bishop Bernard Tissier said back in 2012. This is an interview that was posted on the Rorate Celi blog. And here's what the bishop said back then. Of course, maybe, you know, perhaps the bishop has changed his opinion. That's fine. You can do that. But let's hear him out, because here's what Bishop Tissier said back in 2012. Reintegration, the word is false. The Society of St. Pius X has never left the church. It is in the heart of the church. The project of officialization, quote-unquote, of the society leaves me indifferent. We have no need of it. We are already on the pinnacle, a sign of contradiction, that attracts noble souls, that attracts lots of young priests, despite our pariah status. One would wish to place our lamp under the bushel for our integration into the conciliar world. The status that is proposed to us of a personal prelature is a status for a state of peace. But we are currently in a state of war in the church. It would be a contradiction to wish to regularize the war. Again, Bishop Tissier, 2012. Continue to pray, my dear friends, dear faithful, for the leaders in tradition, let's give everything we've got, fasting and mortification, and out of filial love for Archbishop Lefebvre, for the Superior General of the Society, for the leadership of the Society, as well as for the love of, for truth, for tradition, let us continue to humble ourselves when we need to. And of course, I need to do this always as well. Pray for me as well. We're in the midst of a great fight here. I'm church and state. But we need to pray more. We just need to pray more. We're not doing it. God is angry with his church. He's given us the popes and the cardinals that we have because of the sins, not only of our ancestors, but also the sins we continue to do. But let's make sure we don't lose the great pearl that we've been given, you and I. This great remnant that's been created for us and gifted to us. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.